We'll call this regular meeting of the Grover Beach City Council order for Monday, June 2nd. And we'll first start with the invocation. It will be led by Pastor Jose Rivera from the Five Cities Vineyard Church, and then we'll follow that with a flag salute. And we'll have Chuck Ashton do the flag salute.
We truly are a blessed people. We pray for our president, governor, and their administration. God grant them wisdom and counsel as they wade through and make decisions on a myriad of issues that impact our lives. Thank you for this meeting tonight and for all those represented here that are dedicated in improving this community. Thank you for their time, energy, and resources. We pray for continued provision for this city's needs. We also pray that crime would diminish. Protect our peace officers and law enforcement. We also pray that you would help us all to practice brotherly love as we walk and work together to make this the best community possible. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Rivera, and thank you, Chuck. May we have a roll call, please?
Here.
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 We have some closed session announcements. On May 19, 2003, after meeting in closed session regarding, one, the conference with labor negotiator regarding the represented employee group general employees, and two, conference with labor negotiator regarding the represented employee group Peace Officers Association, and three, conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation regarding sites versus the city of Grover Beach, and four, public employee performance evaluation. And the employee was interim city attorney. In closed session, the council convened from closed session into public session. No reportable actions were taken on closed session items 1, 2, and 4. For closed session item number 3, it was reported that pursuant to an agreement of the parties, the case was dismissed. The city council meeting was then adjourned. And we'll move into the ceremonial calendar. Item number 1, proclamation for a Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run, June 2nd and 3rd, 2003. And I believe our Police Chief John Bradbury will be accepting this. This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring June 2nd and 3rd, 2003 as Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run Day. Whereas each year, law enforcement officers join together to run the Special Olympics Torch throughout the San Luis Obispo County. And whereas hundreds of thousands of law enforcement officers give their time to protect our communities every day, and whereas the efforts of countless volunteers make Special Olympics possible, and whereas on June 2nd and 3rd, 2003, law enforcement officers will carry the Special Olympics torch throughout San Luis Obispo County and send it on its way down to California State University at Long Beach to open the Special Olympics of Southern California Summer Games
Village when we pick up the torch from Pismo Beach at about 8:45. Then we run about 2.5 miles, and we will hand off the torch to the Arroyo Grande Police Department at Spencer's Market. So it'll be a pleasure. Any of you that like to come out and watch us, there'll be people from the police department and other city employees. And we should have about 10 runners out there tomorrow. It'll be a pleasure.
Thank you, John. The City Council will recess to conduct a joint meeting with the Grover Beach Improvement Agency. Oh, Public and Communications. Thanks, Steve. I always forget something. Okay, at this time, we're going to have public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. The council will listen to all communication. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items not on the agenda. Is there anyone that would like to speak in front of the council on anything not on the agenda at this point?
Good evening, council members. I've been here before. I watch the proceedings regularly from the comfort of my front row.
Mayor, could we get a name, address, please?
My name is Don Fielding. I live at 899 North 2nd and Grover Beach. I would like to first let you all know that I think you're all deserving of great praise for having chosen to serve in the position you are now. I know that it can be a thankless task. I know Mr. Scholes pretty well. I'm getting to know him better, and I find that it is the time-intensive task that I assumed it would be, and he and I met a while back and talked about that. So I have nothing but, as I say, praise for you and the job that you've chosen. However, I also feel as a citizen of Grover that I feel compelled to speak out regarding issues that I feel are important. I know there's a lot of interest in the issue of roads in this county, or excuse me, in this city. I am one who shares a concern that there are significant substandard roads in the county. I'm attempting to educate myself now on the criteria that would be used by professionals in defining what a substandard road is. I saw a piece on national news the other day about the number of cities that have substandard roads and the percent of roads in those cities that are substandard. I don't know where Grover falls in that continuum, but I do drive Grover's streets. And there was a piece also in the news recently that indicated that each family ends up paying over the period of a year about $400 on vehicle repairs as a result of driving on bad roads. I think it's an extremely high priority. It represents infrastructure within a city. Grover's a small city, and it's a poor city. I think that it's a matter of triaging within the general plan the issues that you identify based on hearings with and the inability to provide financial resources for roads and infrastructure, that any increase in staff, and in fact past increases in staff, would be difficult to justify. And I think if your city manager recommended hiring additional staff in view of the lack of financial resources, he may not be serving you well. The issue of litigation is an important one also. So I'd like to summarize by saying that even though I may be in the peanut gallery, I empathize with the job that you have assigned. And believe me, you are among the few that have chosen to stand up and said, yes, I'll work with this city for a term or two or three because I care about it, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Todd Ratka. I live at 1145 Brighton in Grover Beach. I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget anything. I attended the city council meeting on January 21st of this year for the appeal by Stephen Edinburgh to allow more than three dogs at his residence. If you'll recall, Mr. Edinburgh had eight dogs. During the meeting, Acting Police Lieutenant Thomas of the Grover Beach Police Department stated there were over 80 calls to the Edinburgh residence, mostly for barking dog complaints, but also included calls for noise, disturbing the peace, and unsightly trash. From the city council minutes, the council discussion was held regarding how one home could negatively impact the quality of life for nearby residences. That the record indicated Mr. Edinburgh had received due process over the past 2 years. The request for additional time to train the dogs was unrealistic. The high number of service calls from barking dog complaints at this residence was an unnecessary drain on police resources. Barking dog complaints between neighbors and other communities have been known to escalate to more violent incidences, and that the matter needed to be resolved as soon as possible. Council members Ekbaum and Scholes to deny the appeal and direct staff to work with animal services to explore available civil remedies to bring forth a speedier resolution. The motion carried on the following roll call vote unanimously. Since that meeting, I, along with some of the other neighbors, have worked with the courts and animal control to resolve the issues we have with Mr. Edinburgh. There were two court cases, one in civil court with animal control where the judge ordered all dogs removed from the property. That case continues on appeal now. The other case was in criminal court. Mr. Edinburgh was already on 3 years probation for death threats made to his next-door neighbors at 288 North 11th Street. Those neighbors had to move away because of him. He was back in court for violating that probation for various reasons, namely noise, trash, and barking dogs. The court ordered an additional year of probation, and the dogs were immediately dropped to 3. The house next door is now occupied by the Hetheringtons at the same address, who were also at the same city council meeting. The Hetheringtons have since obtained a restraining order against Mr. Edinburgh for noise and harassment. That happened at the late March, early April. Since then, Mr. Edinburgh has been very quiet, no barking dogs, and no harassment. About 3 weeks ago, Mr. Edinburgh started playing his harassment games again. It started by walking in front of my home and staring at my family in a very intimidating way. He's now moved on to blasting his music again and allowing the dogs to bark again. I believe there are 5 dogs again. Last week, he started to quickly approach my wife and 1-year-old son until I intervened and told him to get away from them or I would call a probation officer. He has now started hanging out in front of my house in the middle of the night, and yesterday he started yelling vulgar comments at me from his window in reference to myself, my wife, and my son. The whole neighborhood has been dealing with harassment and noise from Mr. Edinburgh for over 2 years now with no end in sight. With the exception of the streets, I love living in this town, but I'm now about to put my home up for sale and move elsewhere so I can have some peace of mind that my family is safe when I go to work. What I'm asking from the council is that a formal letter from the city be written to Mr. Edinburgh's probation officer, the district attorney's office, and to the court that this matter be quickly and firmly dealt with for the health and welfare of the citizens of Grover Beach. Maybe then they'll take us seriously. And I just found out that police and the animal control were...
The police department as well as the animal control. Because that may, in and of itself, be self-resolving.
You need to call the district attorney's office.
Because
they're going to deal with the felony case. There's 2 separate court cases going on here.
Since it's been going on for so long, can this be one of those things that's considered as an emergency and you can go ahead and act on it?
Based on the information that's before us, I think, the Speaker indicated, the steps taken after the last council meeting were successful and put an end to the situation, at least for...
I would think we would need a staff report and to update us on that, and then some type of an agenda item to move forward. I don't think that we've from one person we've got enough information to make a decision, even though we'd probably like to.
Well, again, I think it would be prudent to allow staff to further research into the situation. Allow me to recontact the county council, check where the civil aspect of this is. And then ascertain what the status of the criminal case is, recognizing, of course, that anything pertaining to the criminal case would only deal with from the council on a input basis, basically. In other words, it'd be something that the probation officer could consider as an input.
Okay, I'd like to see this put first thing in the morning because I don't think these families need to be going through this.
I mean, the fact that if what the gentleman suggested, that there's 5 animals there again, I mean, that alone would cause a reaction from animal control, correct?
Mm-hmm. And they were there today. So and that's why I'm hesitant to say that, yes, this is an emergency situation, because I don't know what the status of that contact was. I don't know if the dogs are gone. I don't know if he's under arrest. I have no idea of what the status of it is.
Yeah, I would just like to say, as a member of this council, I think we all can agree that we empathize and we've addressed this issue, and anything you can do, staff, to assist would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. Thank you. Ken?
Mr. Mayor and Council, my name is Ken Gross. I live at 458 Ramona in Grover Beach. Also, I am occasionally known as one of the usual suspects, according to our mayor. I don't take that as a kind gesture, incidentally. I think that's a little bit out of aplomb for a person in his position, but it's his choice anyway. But I'm here specifically tonight to speak to the new budget issue coming up here. I understand you folks have your budget now, and you have 2 weeks in which to study it and make any changes you might like to change on it. You have also received, I'm sure by this time, a signature petition of 1,400 or more residents of this city that are more or less giving you what they want in the way of city action for this year. The real point is here this year, absolutely nothing has been spent on the streets in this city. The carryover from last year was spent on $323,000 of the work this year. They carried over into this year. Where does our money go? Get away from all the political haggling and struggle. We've been dancing with this demon now for 2 years, and that's 2 years too long. So you might take that into consideration whenever you start thinking about budgets. Lawyer fees alone in the last few years have just been astronomical in this town. You know, it's absolutely crazy to spend $600,000 or $800,000 on lawyer fees here. People want streets and not lawyer fees. Thanks.
Anybody else?
Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council, my name is Chuck Ashton. I live at 458 Seabright, and like Ken, I guess I'm also AKA one of the usual suspects around here. I'm here tonight to kind of remind you that in the upcoming budget hearings starting this coming Wednesday, that one of the favorite topics we're here always talking about is our street program. But to remind you that we appeared before you last year, as many of you remember, and we talked to you about how more money needed to go on our streets. At that time, it was like 300 and some thousand was allocated in what was our current budget. And we pointed out that wasn't enough then. We needed to put at least 500,000 more. And we had an unallocated funds of over 800,000 that we could have taken another 500,000 out of that. We actually convinced at least three of you at that time, though it was later torpedoed by our city manager. We wanted to wait till a later time to sit down and form, I believe it was called one of his blue ribbon committees of citizens to determine what's wrong with our streets. Well, the citizens out there, I want to tell you, already know what's wrong with the streets. They don't need any delaying tactics there. And here we come up to a new budget there. I haven't seen any of his blue ribbon committees on the streets there. I still hear the same rhetoric of allocating about 300,000 a year on the streets. Several of you council people have been up there for three terms, close to 10 years. And you're not new kids on the block, and you know the streets are getting worse. I was watching that last tape recording of the city council meeting. I'm surprised you're holding one of your sessions there. You're trying to pick out what are going to be the lucky streets for the raffle this year to get the 300,000 put on in there. And one of you was surprised that a street that's just one block over from where he lives was in such bad repair. I mean, don't we realize, or you realize, like we do as citizens out there, the conditions of our streets? We're judged by our streets. You don't. People just don't drive into Grover Beach, look at some glitter you may put down Grand Avenue, and go on from there and say, what a great town you have. People that are interested in your town, they'll drive out into the hinterland there, and they'll notice what decaying roads we have and the conditions there. And that's not meeting really your obligation that you really have as citizens. And as Ken pointed out, last year there was about three or four of us came before you there, and we thought we had some of you convinced, and apparently we didn't do that good of a job. So this year we went out and did something different. We went out to the people out there in the streets, and as Ken pointed out, where we got over 1,400 and some signatures. Most of the signatures, I may point out to you, represent only one party out of the household, because we didn't obviously have the time to go around and reach everyone. So that really, 1,400 signatures represents closer to 3,000 signatures. Well, most of those households had two to three people in them. Evening to you there, and even though it may be by your standards out on time, it still don't allow you much time to review it before the meeting coming on Wednesday there. And I just want you to consider when we come before you on Wednesday there that we also represent a few other citizens in this town, and we'd like you to consider about where the money needs to go. You need to put your infrastructure first. This is a problem, as a previous gentleman mentioned there, that it's throughout the United States. People are neglecting their infrastructure in their cities, and that's services like police and fire and your streets and that. That's where the problem is. I know he's going to tell you that, well, we don't have the money for it. Well, probably by his system, you wouldn't have the money for it. But if you put the streets and that infrastructure first, and then you put some of the other allocations on a lesser level there, you will find the money for it. There's ways to cut back. There are ways to do things more efficiently there. Anyhow, we will be for you this coming Wednesday, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chuck. I'd like to remind you guys that this community has fixed more residential streets than any community in the South County. If you look at the residential streets in Grover, you'll see more have been fixed than Aurora Grandy or Pismo combined, probably. We've also fixed Highland and we fixed
El Camino Real.
Well, that was quite a while ago, but just the last 4 years we fixed Highland and
Pike.
Pike.
The Pike. And we fixed Farrell. So those three streets have been fixed. We're looking at 4th Street, but the funding's been withheld. And if you guys are following your newspapers, you know that the state's budget still isn't a firmed up thing. And until that is, we really don't know where our budget's going to be either. And that was a case last year. And we're in agreement with you guys. We'd like to fix the streets as much as we could, too. But as soon as you start to pull away from fire or police, people are going to be concerned about that, too. And you were saying that is infrastructure. You're right, that's infrastructure. And so we do have to continue to provide services. And those services just aren't street services. Those services are finance. Those services are public works. You can't get rid of those guys. We may not be able to hire the people that are out right now. That might be part of the budget. I haven't even looked at it. But we are looking at doing streets, and that was one of the commitments that we made 4 years ago. The $300,000 was considered a joke 4 years ago. People said we couldn't do that, but we did do that. And if we haven't spent the $300,000 for this year's budget, I'm sure we're going to. That's why we allocated those streets last week. So we are in agreement with you, even though you may be thinking that by getting 1,400 signatures at Vons, you know, who doesn't want the streets fixed? Who doesn't want a raise? Who doesn't want a new car? I mean, that's a no-brainer kind of a petition to put together. We all like them fixed. These streets are 50 years old. They're all destroying it, disintegrating at one time. And that's part of the problem is that they're all based on a sand base. There's no gravel. There's no base underneath them, and they are going away. They're going away quickly, and there's no way you're going to be able to fix them all at one time. So just a little bit of information back to the public that's watching this because they feel that we, as a council, are not in tune to your streets. We'd love to fix them all tomorrow ourselves, but we have to provide other services also, and it's our responsibility to do that also.
Can I John? Jump in here?
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with what the mayor said, and I'd like to say for those in the audience and those at home, this council is very concerned with streets. As a matter of thousand, we're going to be researching alternatives to do more streets at once as opposed to what's been done in the past. So as the mayor said, we are in agreement with what has been said regarding streets, and we are trying to address that, and we are committed to doing that. So just for those of you who are in the audience and at home, please know that we are concerned about the streets as well. Thank you.
I would like to make a comment, too. There has been reference that the city manager decides. The city manager does not decide what streets. We, a council that's elected, decides what streets. They are suggested from our public works departments and other departments. Then we decide which we can afford to do, which are the most needed. We have walked those streets. We have gone up and down and spoken with the citizens that live on some of those streets, telling them that there's going to be inconvenience for a few days. But some of you tend to forget that we are concerned about our streets, and you go over and over the same thing. Some of those signatures that were on there, some of those people were misled because they approached some of us. And that is wrong. We do care about our streets, all of us here, all of you in the audience, all of you sitting at home. We drive them. We walk them. People walk their dogs. There's older people that use those street wheel little things to get around. So don't tell us that we don't care about our streets. We do. And we're going to spend as much money as we can. What you need to do is get on the horn, call your assemblyman and your state senator, and when the budget comes out from the state, say, we want our money. We didn't do that. We didn't give our money to them. They took it from us. Call them. They don't live here in town.
Public communication still, Loretta?
I'm wearing this. I'm sorry, Loretta Dukas, 467 Ramona Avenue. I'm wearing one of my usual suspects buttons, but I just want to point out that I'm one of your neighbors. I live here. I love this city. I'm not the enemy. I'm not one of them or they. I'm your neighbor. I'm the cheerleader of the group, and I'm here to say thank you for spending more time on streets. Thank you for last month's city council meeting where you dedicated a lot of time to the discussion of streets so we can see what is happening, whereas a lot of us didn't see what was happening. Now that it's televised, we can see now what is happening and that there is focus on streets. For me, it was always a subtitle or a subtext. And yeah, we know about streets. And we felt like we weren't being listened to. And I understand and I see now that you're dedicating time, you're walking the streets. And I don't know how anyone who signed the petition, how in any way, shape, or form they were misled. People were running towards me to sign this petition. So I would like clarification on that because I couldn't even understand how they, when I said roads, people were running towards me. I'm not even kidding. So how they could have been misled, I don't understand. But I just, again, would like to thank you for your time and your attention to this and for searching out the worst of the worst. We all know they're there.
Okay.
No, well, fundraisers, whatever, motivating the people. Last month's city council meeting motivated me to go out and talk to people to say, well, look at what these people did. They came up and said, we're all motivated to get our curb gutters and sidewalks in. That is everybody giving each other a leg up, and that's all we want. Instead of this being, you know, pushed aside and telling us that, you know, we're just beating a dead horse. We just want to bring it to the forefront and motivate and hold hands and be happy and say, this is what our focus is. I'm embarrassed when people come to see me in my town. I feel like our streets look like we're an unincorporated, nobody pays attention to us, completely disregarded area of the county. And I'm sure what you're saying is right, that we fix a lot of roads. I see a lot of improvement, but there are so many other areas that just need a leg up. Just to close, I'd like to say when you make decisions for the city of Grover Beach, to ask yourself, will bits and pieces of Grover Beach have the look and feel of San Luis Obispo? You know, will we have these nice walkways in place of or at the expense of not repairing our roads, not having drainage systems, and not give, you want to say something?
Yeah, basically what I want to say is what you're talking about is Grand Avenue improvement, and that's different money. That's like if your grandmother gave you $500 to spend and you had a chance to spend it as opposed to your regular job where you have
no,
money to
I
spend
understand.
It there.
I do.
So it's
understand
different money. We can't take that and use it for drainage. We can't use it for the residential streets. And you were talking about drainage in South Grover. We spent $800,000 on Mentone a couple of years ago. That was an improvement. It still looks like Mentone still needs more drop inlets and it needs more drainage. And as I said a little while ago, $30 million, the estimate to fix just the streets, that's not curb gutter and sidewalk, was between $20 and $30 million. Our budget this year, general fund budget, is probably going to be in the neighborhood of $5 million, I would say. That's about what it's been in the last two or three years. So that's for everything in the city. That's for police, fire, public safety. I mean, all the public safety,
right.
All the public works. That's $5 million a year. We're talking about 6 years of annual general fund revenues to fix the streets. If we fired everybody and just used the money for, didn't do anything, but just used that money for public for streets.
Like,
so you can see what a dire,
right.
I mean, it is a dire emergency.
It is, and I agree with the gentleman who first spoke and said, I don't envy our positions. This is a very difficult position, and we do see that there are many other areas, like you said, we get funds in and they're allocated to just one thing, and not roads,
mm-hmm.
not including roads. But wherever we can shave the budget to dedicate to roads and infrastructure and drainage for those poor people in South Grover, again, I'm the cheerleader to say, please, that's all we're asking. That's why we went and canvassed our neighborhoods, and that's all the people are telling me. And they don't seem to be confused about it. They said our roads are terrible. Please, let's do whatever we can to fix them. Thank you.
I think the other thing I want to mention, too, is if you'll look at the way we've done residential streets, we haven't done them in South Grover or North Grover or Northwest Grover. We've tried to split them up so everybody in every one of those quadrants feel.
They're the ones that flood every year. They're the ones that need it the most. I will sacrifice my road to give them a leg up. I can't believe that I have to drive down there and see these poor people putting sandbags on the front of their house.
Drive Drive Northwest Grover, too.
Yes.
That is
same
horrible.
Thing.
Everything west of Grand west of 4th Street and north of Grand. Those people.
We're looking to you to tell us what we need to do and what we need to sacrifice in order to make this happen, because I'm sure a lot of people will step up to the plate and say, we will take cutbacks here in order to make this happen.
Thank you.
Before you leave, I'd just like to thank you for your comments. And you know, it is a priority and important to us. And only thing I would ask is, as we start to discuss alternatives for doing more streets and coming up with a comprehensive program, that you will make your services available to anyone else that you have that might assist us in going on that road, so we can make it an inclusive process.
I have always been the petition woman, so whatever you need us to do, just ask. And however you need us to word it or to ask that question, we are available, because we love living here and we want it to, like I said, we're your neighbors.
There was a group, too, that came in of parents that want to put their curb, gutter, and sidewalk as their street's going to be repaired. That's nice. Now, if only some others in our city could do that also, but some people aren't as fortunate as others to be able to do that. Years ago, we tried to have, I think David called it, an improvement of sorts.
It was a half-price sale.
Sale is what he used to call it, yeah. Where people did put curb, gutter, and sidewalk, but those funds run out. But
I think you'll be surprised once the road, if there will be a snowball effect, that once the roads start going in, and maybe we could split it up into a two-phase process where they put curb and gutter in and then go back when they can afford it and put their sidewalk in. That would at least help in the drainage systems, because their curb and gutter is in. So there's a million different options of how we can go about doing this. And really, if we focus, I know we'll come up with solutions. And that's why we're here, and that's why we do the work that we do.
Another fact maybe you should be aware of is the engineering for the curb, gutter, and sidewalk alone is almost more expensive than putting the curb, gutter, and sidewalk in. So it's a real hit for somebody that wants to put curb, gutter, and sidewalk in. It's really expensive. And the way that some people have done that have been assessment districts. And so basically the city fronts the money, puts a curb, gutter, and sidewalk in, and they pay that money back on their assessments of their property tax. But there's only so much money in our coffers that we can do that. We can only loan so much money out because we're a poor city. So if you do, let's say, five blocks of that, and then you have to wait for that money to come back in, it's real difficult financially, all those things. But thank you for your concern, and thank you for your comments.
Thank
really
you for
appreciate
being positive
it. Thank you.
Too.
Thank you.
I've been very quiet.
Oh yeah.
If you two would like, let me say two sentences, I'd really appreciate it. I've listened to all this this comment, and I appreciate all the comment, and I always have been, really receptive to that. And what I would suggest to us is that we don't consider ourselves the poorest city in the community, in the county. We don't consider ourselves having the worst streets of any city in the county, because I can tell you from my experience, I do a lot of driving in both Santa Barbara.
Hello.
Hi, Liz.
Liz Dukas, 555 Seabright Avenue. I really, really must agree with the idea that we all have to work together. We all have to bring all of our ideas to the table. And I don't want you to think that we're out here just trying to give you guys a headache for the day. That's not it. It's not it at all. When we were out going home to home talking to all these people, they had a lot of things to say about prior council members, about the current council members. They had both positive and negative comments that they made. And I've learned a lot about it. And I don't want you to think of that as something negative. It's something positive, so we can let everybody know how we feel. We talked last year I talked very little last year, and it seems like you can't just say something once and have it get the point across. It's like we're having to come back over and over and over again. One of the citizens said that they'd been trying to get this done for 20 years. They mentioned Mr. Eckbaum specifically, that they feel that he runs on that issue, but yet doesn't come up with, what it is. We know about budgets. We realize that it's a tight deal, but we want you to know that this is something that we want to see in our future, period, end of discussion. We want this to be a part of our budget every single year until we get to the point where It's not an issue anymore. So please don't think of it as an adversarial situation. We're here to help you, like Loretta said. Give us the information you need. We can go out and do groundwork, whatever it is. The most important thing is to get a positive outlook on the future, no matter what it should be. And when you talk about, you know, and I know you, however you meant it, but just standing outside of Vaughn's, we did not do that. We went home to home. We talked to people. Sometimes you spend a lot of time talking to these people. They kind of almost felt sorry for us because we're trying to get something done that they've been trying for years and years and years to do. So, you know, please think, put it in the proper light that we are advocates for our city. We are your neighbors. We want to see these things done, but they've got to be included every year in our budget from this point on out, regardless. Just like, you know, you're going to do dental work or you're going to do anything else, it's got to be a part of it to bring us all up to speed. I talked to one family that said they tried to put in a curb, gutter, and sidewalk, but the city required them to put in X amount of paving, and they didn't feel that was that was fair. So they ended up not doing it. So that's what we're saying, is we have citizens out there that are trying as hard as they can. We're trying as hard as we can, and we don't want to create an adversarial situation here. We want you to work with us, and we want to work with you guys on all levels. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Catherine Sells. I live at 724 Mentone, and I wasn't planning to get up and speak, but Loretta brought up the flooding. I bought the first house I've ever owned in February of 2002, and much to my distress, on December 19th, my house flooded. But I was assured when I bought the house, well, the Mentone's been fixed now. We've got drains. It's working great. Thousands of dollars. And I've gone around the neighborhood. I've seen the sandbags, and it's very disturbing. I just about cried when Loretta brought it up again. I don't want to think about it. It's a nightmare. You really need to do something about it, because people are going to move out. And then what do you have? And then no one will buy those houses because they've been flooded. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more public comment? Going once, going twice. Okay, we will now, let's see, we'll now recess the City Council meeting and convene a joint meeting of the Grover Beach Improvement Agency City Council. And so, can we have a roll call of the City Council? Well, it says City Council first and then Agency Board second on the agenda, so.
So we have to do
both.
Twice?
We have to do both, yes. Yes, according to the agenda.
Myself and I. Here.
Councilmember Boardman Scholes.
Here, here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Sanchez.
Here, here.
Mayor Chair Arnold.
Here. So we did everything once instead of twice. Okay, thank you. Once again, we have public communication. This is for the Grover Beach Improvement Agency / City Council meeting that is opened at this point. Any member of the public may address the City Council / Improvement Agency for a period not to exceed 3 minutes, totaling any item of interest within jurisdiction of the agency or the City Council. The City Council / Improvement Agency will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the City Council / Improvement Agency cannot act on any items not on the agenda. Anyone would like to speak at public comment? This is your check.
My name is Chuck Ashton. I live at 458 Seabright. I'm very well familiar with redevelopment agencies in that the city I came from many years ago. We went through that process, and it does have the capability of making vast improvements to your community there and picking up the slack where it exists. The problem I have with our redevelopment deal, I believe it's, and don't hold me to it, what it's been in existence, what, 6 years now, 7 years? And in all that time, it's acquires its funding by taking a certain redevelopment area there and getting a percentage of the property tax for a certain period of time there. I haven't seen that one tangible thing really come out of this redevelopment that we had. I see that it's generating a lot of publications. You have about a 5-inch publication in front of you. I'm sure that costs the redevelopment agency thousands of dollars to produce there. And I see it as a cash cow for the city manager's staff. I see some percentage of it goes out to various members of staff and that. But I haven't seen anything really constructive, actually, than what we can put down as being developed from it. I don't know what time period in time we have to wait till we start seeing something coming down the pike. I remember wasn't too many months ago I got up before you when we were talking about the mitigation process along Grand Avenue that we had developed there, and I asked you at that for a year and see something coming out of it. One good example, you got some streets within that redevelopment district there that are in sad shape. Why don't you start putting some money down and fixing those streets there? You got the money there. What, do we have to go through some kind of session, a head session there, and hire somebody to determine how we're going to go about spending that money now? But I'd like to see something more tangible come out of this thing, because I know redevelopment agencies, if used properly, can produce good results in that. I'm just tired of seeing the same old paper shuffle. It's a cash cow for our vast employment around here and everything else. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chuck. Are there any more people that would like to speak to public communication? Okay, if not, we'll move into the Improvement Agency consent agenda. We have two items on the agenda.
I move the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
Vice Chair Santos?
Yes.
Board Member Lieberman?
Yes.
Chair Arnoldson?
Yes.
Good. Okay, they passed by 4-0. And those items were the minutes of the meeting held for the Improvement Agency of April 7th and the resolution declaring the newspaper of general circulation, which declares the TPR and the TT as the newspapers that we'll use for notification of the Improvement Agency business. Moving to Improvement Agency business, item A3, improvement plan for the Grover Beach Industrial Enhancement Project. And Bob, I'm not sure who's, I guess we're gonna have the consultants, Urban Futures do this, or are you gonna do this, Bob? City Manager, who's doing our staff report?
Honorable
All of
Mayor,
you?
Honorable Mayor Chair.
Mayor Chair.
Mayor Chair.
Kind of like a horse's. Oh, never mind.
We have a couple of folks here that have been working for the city and agency on creating a new industrial enhancement area. And from Urban Futures, we have John Huffman. We also have Jack Nagel here, who's representing the agency for legal aspects of the creation of the new district. And I think at this point I'd like to turn it over to John to lead you through.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Chairman, members of the agency board and city council, city of Grover Beach. My name is John Huffman. I am with Urban Futures, and we've been working with this city council, redevelopment agency, planning commission, city staff, agency staff in Grover Beach for about 2 years now. And if you recall, one of the first things that Urban Futures worked with the city and the redevelopment agency to put together was a feasibility study. And that was considered by the redevelopment agency back in March 18th of 2002. And from that point forward, development project areas in the state of California is 54,000 acres, included George Air Force Base in San Bernardino County. So 185 acres is very small. And you're only going to generate a certain amount of tax increment dollars that can be used to fund the projects and programs that are so vital to this community. And I've been listening to a few of the people in this community speak to you about issues that they're very passionate about. And indeed, as I travel up and down the state of California to cities of all sizes, I hear the same kinds of things, particularly since the dot bomb that happened in the early 90s. Our finances, both local and statewide, have certainly been reeling. And fortunately, at least in the past and hopefully into the future, redevelopment agencies have been an integral part in helping cities to respond to those kinds of infrastructure issues that people are speaking to you this evening about. Also, redevelopment agencies have been an integral part in helping provide affordable housing and community development, economic development within their project areas. And in many instances, the kinds of benefits that happen in a redevelopment project area spin way outside the boundaries of that redevelopment project area. So it's been proven throughout the state of California for more than 50 years, the value of redevelopment in cities and counties and special jurisdictions in doing all those kinds of things. My presentation this evening is a little bit different than I had anticipated it being. We have received an objection to this plan from the County of San Luis Obispo. Staff has met with staff from the County of San Luis Obispo regarding the letter of objection that they have submitted, and I believe the city clerk probably has a copy of that. We need to enter that into the public record this evening. And I think with respect to this issue, it's unfortunate that it certainly would have been better for the City of Grover Beach Redevelopment Agency to be able to include certainly all the areas that we have discussed and proposed to put into this project area. But the County of San Luis Obispo is doing due diligence, and it's certainly not uncommon for there to be issues that come up with respect to putting certain areas within a redevelopment project area. And I expect that there will have to be some sort of compromise with respect to at least the principal issue that the county has brought up, the inclusion of a certain agricultural parcel within this redevelopment project area. I don't believe that the county is adversarial in their position, and I do believe that they are looking for compromise, because I think the county recognizes the benefits of redevelopment in any number of cities in the County of San Luis Obispo, and the City of Grover Beach is just another one. And I recall just a minute ago a gentleman talking about the relative inactivity of the Grover Beach Redevelopment Agency up to this point in time. Please remember, you are in your infancy as a redevelopment agency. The plan, your original plan, having been adopted just in February of 1997, typically it takes a number of years for a redevelopment agency to be able to accumulate enough funds through tax increment and other resources they have available to them to be able to decide about 20% of your tax increment for affordable housing project and programs. And based on the calculations that we ran as a part of this program contained in this binder, it is a large document. Many of those documents that are contained in this volume you have seen before. The Planning Commission has acted on, or the City Council or Redevelopment Agency Board have all acted upon. And at this point, I would like to enter this document into the public hearing record evidentiary as evidence of the proceedings of this redevelopment plan adoption process this evening. But with respect to monies for affordable housing, we project approximately $7.3 million over the 45 years that this redevelopment agency can collect tax increment. That's an additional 15 years that you have to actually actively implement your program. You can collect increment for 45 years. And we estimate about $7.13 million will be available for affordable housing projects in this community. With respect to community development, approximately $8.52 million. With respect to infrastructure, which is a very big issue here this evening, within this project area and in some instances even outside of this project area, you can anticipate approximately $15 million for infrastructure improvements, which can include streets, curbs, sidewalks, the kinds of things that you see and drive and walk on. With respect to community facilities, it might be a fire station, it might be a police station, it might be parks, recreation facilities, it might be a senior center. We estimate you have about $5 million to spend on those kinds of activities. And that's the way the projects and programs list that's included as a part of this improvement plan is broken down. Now, over time, as this body changes, priorities in the community will change. And to some degree, you have a certain flexibility to spend monies, the general parameters as they're outlined here, as this project area needs them. And I anticipate that you will operate much like every redevelopment agency in the state of California. You'll get input from the community, and that's going to help shape your priorities and the decisions as to how you allocate funds and prioritize those projects over the coming years. Redevelopment, of course, redistributes property tax dollars. There is no free lunch. So those property tax dollars are coming from other affected taxing entities, including the County of San Luis Obispo. County of San Luis Obispo, by approving negotiating, if you will, as their letter states, they're looking to have some reshaping of this area. But the fact that the redevelopment project area remains in some shape or form, it is a redistribution of property tax dollars. And these other affected taxing entities, in effect, buy into the improvement of Grover Beach within this project area using a share of their property tax dollars to help make this happen. And that's a very valuable thing. And I certainly believe that that makes a statement from all of those affected taxing entities that they want to see a certain level of improvement in this particular part of your community. With respect to comments or objections regarding this proposed redevelopment plan, there were no other objections received either by property owners, business owners, or other affected taxing entities. The only letter, I believe, California Community Redevelopment Law, it includes as a part of the document the city's general plan land use map. This redevelopment plan has no authority with respect to land use policy or land use regulation. Those are handled under the City Council and the Planning Commission, not under authority of the Redevelopment Agency. It does not have that authority in this plan. As I said, the plan life is for implementation purposes will be 30 years. You do have an ability to incur debt for 20 years, and there is authority in this plan to issue bonded indebtedness. There is authority to use eminent domain. However, you have included in this plan a limitation preventing you from taking properties on which any persons reside. As I said earlier, the time limit to receive tax increment is 45 years. There is no change to the general plan. There is no change to zoning. As I said, there are no land use authorities contained in this document. And as we've talked about in workshops that we've had, there is no tax increase that is a result of a redevelopment project area. Again, it comes from a redistribution of property tax dollars that are generated within the project area. Under tab 3 of this binder is the final environmental impact report that was prepared for this project. This document is required by CEQA because a redevelopment project is a project as defined under CEQA. It's been prepared as a program environmental impact report. At the time this document was prepared, there were no specific projects forecast to be developed by this redevelopment agency. So it may be necessary in the future that additional CEQA compliance be a part of a proposed project, depending on what that project may be. This environmental document will be the basis for making future decisions with respect to additional environmental compliance that may be necessary, depending on the scope and scale timing of a project in the future. We looked at a number of issues in this document. One of the issues was agricultural resources. This is an issue that the County of San Luis Obispo has taken issue with. There was only one issue, however, that we found to be one that could not be mitigated to a level of insignificance, and that was air quality. Not unusual in the state of California. It's very rare that you can go anywhere and propose any kind of a project and not have a problem with air quality. So as such, a statement of overriding considerations would need to be adopted by the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency as a part of this process because of the impacts, potential long-term impacts to air quality resources. As a part of the process, we looked at four project alternatives, including a no-project alternative and a reduction of project area size alternative. And unfortunately, all of these alternatives will limit the ability of this redevelopment agency to help implement the long-term goals and objectives of the city's general plan and to realize the improvements that property owners and citizens of the city of Grover Beach wish to have occur in this area. So with respect to the project alternatives, none appeared to be better with respect to environmental consequences than the proposed project. The environmental review period on the draft EIR ended under tab 3 of the joint public hearing binder, as well as responses that were prepared by staff for agency and city council approval with respect to the CEQA process. It is okay based on the time frame for the city council redevelopment agency to certify the final environmental impact report anytime after May 31st. Which fits into the process that we're beginning this evening. With respect to tab 4, it's the agency's report to city council. That's really the basis of the economic and physical conditions that exist in this redevelopment project area as it's proposed. We believe that the document provides substantial evidence that there is blight within the existing area as proposed. And that there are, in fact, substantial and prevalent conditions of those kinds of blighting conditions as defined under the California Community Redevelopment Law. And in that document, there's a series of discussions about such things as code violations, structural deterioration, defective design and construction, incompatible land uses and irregular parcels, depreciated and stagnant property values, impaired investments, low lease rates, deficient and lacking infrastructure, and other issues are contained in the discussion in that document. One of the other parameters of adopting a redevelopment project area involved the inclusion of vacant land. No more than 20% of the project area can be vacant or undeveloped land, which means 80% of that area has to be urbanized. As we calculated that percentage, there is 90% of that project area that is urbanized under the test of the redevelopment law. We are also, the agency is also required as a part of this process to consult with affected taxing entities, and we have done that, which is one of the reasons the County of San Luis Obispo has filed this objection. They've been made aware of the process. We sent out a letter advising the affected taxing entities that we, the redevelopment agency staff, we'd be happy to meet with any of the taxing entities regarding this process. We prepared a series of tax increment projections to give them an idea as to the amount of money that they would be helping this redevelopment agency to fund improvements in the redevelopment project area through the transfer of property tax. We also provided to all the affected taxing entities copies of all the documents that have been prepared as part of this process, including the draft EIR, the preliminary report, and other documents that are required to be sent to them as a part of the redevelopment process pursuant to the redevelopment law. With respect to the inclusion of ag land, which is, I think, the big issue with the County of San Luis Obispo, there are four agricultural parcels actually proposed for inclusion. Only one of them is larger than 2 acres. In fact, three of them are substantially smaller than 2 acres in size. One of those areas is approximately 21 acres in size. And redevelopment law says that you can include agricultural parcels within your redevelopment project area that are larger than 2 acres in size if you make special findings. Most of those findings deal with impact to adjacent agricultural areas and compliance with the city's general plan land use. I'm just about done here. Under tab 5 is the Planning Commission's report. The Planning Commission does have to be a part of this process. They originally helped to formulate the project boundaries that were put in the preliminary plan. They were also made a part of what's called a conformity report. The redevelopment plan and related documents were brought forward to the Planning Commission. They were able to look at that document, compare the document with respect to the goals and objectives and policies of the city's general plan, and find that your redevelopment plan as proposed is consistent with your general plan. And again, in this instance, it's not hard to make that finding because, as I said earlier, your city land use map is an integral part of your redevelopment plan. In other words, you will be working as you implement projects and programs to help implement your established general plan policies, goals, and objectives over time. Tab six includes all of the copies of all the information that was transmitted to property owners, business owners, residents, as was required by state law. We advised them of this public hearing this evening. We also advised them of two workshops that were being held as a part of this process to inform people who were involved in the project area about the benefits of redevelopment, and many of them had questions about such things as eminent domain and what the agency's policy was with respect to eminent domain and how redevelopment might help them personally as homeowners, as business owners, or as simply as residents who don't own property but simply live here. We went through a whole lot of those kinds of questions and answers, and I believe that the workshops provided a lot of responses to those questions, and I don't know if any of the people that were a part of those programs will be here this evening to speak to you about that. But I believe they went very well. The first workshop, I believe we had 15, maybe 20 people. The second workshop, we had one person. So that's just kind of an update on public community input with respect to this process. Tab number seven contains your owner participation rules and relocation guidelines. Again, these are things that are required to be included as a part of this process. You have adopted those prior to this evening. Other sections, tabs 8 through 10 in this binder, contain a series of resolutions and the adopting city ordinance. If you so choose at some point in this process to adopt that city ordinance, you will have a new redevelopment plan in place and a new project area in place. And I think with respect to tonight's actions, I know there are a number of resolutions on your agenda this evening. The only one that we are recommending that you adopt would be a resolution of the city's redevelopment agency or improvement agency transmitting the report to council, which is this rather substantial binder and all the content, to the city council. Well, you're the same people, so what does that mean? It's a formality, but it is provided for under the CCRL, and it is something that we have to do this evening. I think because the county has filed the letter of objection that the remainder of the process will have to be postponed. And I think maybe what I'll do is let Mr. Nagel, do you want to address, Jack, the time frame? Is that?
Also, because of the request of the county that consideration be given to deleting a portion of the project area, and you will hear from a county representative as to exactly what portions they have in mind. It would be appropriate if you want to at least consider that deletion. It's not a commitment on your part tonight to do so, but to consider a deletion, it would be necessary to refer that matter back to the Planning Commission at its meeting of June 10th to give a further report to you. And then to bring all of that information, the Planning Commission's report on the possible deletion, and staff and consultants' report in response to the county's consideration, and perhaps a report on any discussions that may be held with the county between now and your next meeting, back to you at your next meeting, at which point you would continue the public hearing tonight until that time, hear all of that, conclude the public hearing at that time, and then you'd be in a position to move forward later in the month of June and early July to take action, should you desire, on the adoption of the plan. I would be pleased to come back after you've heard all the speakers and give you a more specific suggestion and recommendation from staff as to how you might proceed under these circumstances. But because of this circumstance, which arose just today, and so we were not able to put this in your binder before today, I did want to let you know that would be a recommended general approach. And as I said, I'll be happy to come back later and frame a specific recommendation for you after you've had an opportunity to open the public hearing and consider testimony of the public who is here tonight and would like to speak on the matter. Thank you.
Questions of consultants from Urban Futures, anyone?
John? Yeah, I have some questions. I'll step forward. Regarding the environmental impact report,
yes, sir.
As I was reading through that document and I also saw the discussion regarding the alternatives, I was somewhat surprised that at your conclusion that the no project alternative is would create greater environmental impacts over the project itself. So could you maybe clarify for me, because the straight the typical intent for CEQA is that your alternatives that you look at would have less impacts than the project. So maybe you can clarify something.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I believe that's typically the case. But I think what this document was showing, that there are a whole host of problems and issues that are affecting this potential redevelopment project area. And if you do a no-project alternative, if that's actually the project that happens here, a lot of the improvements that this redevelopment agency could be a party to will go unanswered. You won't have this additional funding mechanism, the sharing of other public entity monies, as well as the city's monies, because some of this money is generated right here in the city and is also shared with the redevelopment agency. You won't have those dollars to dedicate towards street improvements, towards sewer, water, flood control, affordable housing, community development, economic development. Again, we estimate about $35 million over the 45 years broken into your lower and moderate income housing fund and your general redevelopment funds for projects and programs that you wouldn't have if you adopt the no project alternative. What you'll have is the same kinds of conditions. You continue to have people who are upset about the lack of infrastructure, the lack of jobs, the lack of other kinds of improvements, the lack of affordable housing. That is what the no project fosters if you were to adopt that in lieu of this particular project. And I think that's what the environmental impact report was trying to get across.
Also, the one thing I was a little disappointed in is we know that we're in an economic recession. We know that in the governor's original budget and his May revise, he had left in regarding redevelopment agencies a $250 million cut, and he's also proposing continued and increasing cuts to redevelopment agencies in future budgets, and it also talks about the governor's proposal requires local government general fund revenues to back up a portion of this cut if the redevelopment agency cannot produce.
Argue this thing out. I think it is safe to say that redevelopment agencies will be made a party to help to alleviate some of the state's budget woes. And we know we are a part of the ERAF program at this point. You can expect to be a continuing part of the ERAF program. I guess the real questions are for what duration of time and to what amount of funding will you have to participate. And I was at dinner this evening, and Mr. Nagel was explaining his understanding of the most recent budget proposals. He's a bit more educated about that particular issue than I am, and perhaps as a part of his subsequent responses, he can update you in a lot more detail. But as it is unfolding, ERAF will be the state's outlet with respect to reaching out and having redevelopment agencies participate in the budget woe reduction.
You might want to explain for the audience what ERAF is.
ERAF is an acronym for the phrase Education Revenue Augmentation Fund, and it's the way that cities and redevelopment agencies and special districts have since the early 1990s had to pony up a certain amount of money to help allay the state's education expense, as expenses have gone up with respect to providing adequate education and the budget problems we began to see in the early 1990s, which kind of went away, and redevelopment agencies were no longer responsible until this fiscal year, and redevelopment agencies were back in the picture and having to contribute a percentage of their tax increment to help, again, allay the state's budget problems. So, yes, they are reaching their hands in your pocket once again. And there's all kinds of discussion about mismanagement in Sacramento. I don't know if that's the case or not, but the fact is the situation does exist, and I'm afraid we're all going to be held responsible for helping to make that situation better.
I had a couple more questions. With respect to the eminent domain phrase, you were talking about the city's limiting itself to not taking I guess, properties that are that have residences or which people reside.
Correct.
Does that exclude homes that are considered substandard or have been deemed unsafe by, let's say, a city building official?
That would include any property, and it doesn't have to be just residential. It can be a business and somebody's living up above. And this redevelopment agency does not have, if they adopt the plan as written, well, in fact, you've already adopted your eminent domain policy, and it is simply included in this plan. You cannot take those properties through eminent domain. You can negotiate the sale. You cannot use eminent domain to take those properties because people live there.
Okay. And I typically have been asking a couple of questions as items have come forward in the past. I think this is pretty self-explanatory with respect to benefits to the community of adopting redevelopment. But what are the consequences of us not taking any action on this, on the plan? Or let's say if we defer this until we have a better idea of where the budget's going to fall, the state budget's going to fall?
Well, what would happen is you would probably, and I don't know how long you would extend your discussions, but if the adopting ordinance is not effective by August 20th of this calendar year, you would lose the 2002-2000, you lose the base year, and you lose whatever increment has begun to grow from January 1 of 2002 until that such date as you actually, your ordinance is effective.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Nice questions. Dee, any questions?
Maybe, Ron, when we went on this tour on Saturday with this affordable housing, and they said, you know, they took over certain properties, and they had to place those people from properties they bought. Now, when he mentioned affordable housing, would that be included in this kind of thing, or would it be something completely different?
It's the same. Whenever you create a redevelopment area under California Community Redevelopment Law, 20% of the tax increment proceeds that are generated by the area must be set aside for low and moderate income housing. So we currently have a redevelopment area that generates a certain amount of low and moderate income housing money from tax increment. If we have a second area, that second area would generate an additional amount of money that could be used for the kinds of housing projects that we saw over the weekend.
Okay.
Councilman Lieberman.
I'd like to hear some public comment first.
Okay. All right. At this point, we will open this to the public, and this is a public hearing, so anybody that would like to come forward, please come forward.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is David Edge. I'm the county administrative officer, San Luis Obispo County. And I'm here to put on the record the county's objection to some specifics of the proposed industrial enhancement project for Grover Beach. Yeah, as your consultant referenced, we've sent a letter which has been included in the package, so I won't go through all of that letter in detail. I would like to start by saying that redevelopment is a legitimate financing vehicle for local government, and there are certainly areas that are identified in the proposed expansion that would meet my definition of blight, having driven around and looked at it, and are appropriate areas to be included in redevelopment and for the purposes for which redevelopment was intended. Having said that, we also are concerned that there are portions of the proposed area that are troubling to us. We don't believe that they do meet the legal limitations of redevelopment law, what is appropriate and what is not appropriately included in that kind of area. And obviously this is a source of dispute between us and your consultants in this matter. John referred to the agricultural area. This is south of Highland Way. It's strawberry fields. And I, amongst many others, think they're the best strawberries that are produced in the county, but you guys benefit from them on a much more proximate base than I do living in Las Osas, which, by the way, when you talk about there are worse places in San Luis for streets, tell your people to come to Las Osas where I live, and they'll know how good they have it down in Grover. of the ag land. As you may know, the proposal is to include a portion of those strawberry fields in the redevelopment area and leave out another portion, which I believe is about 9 acres. The EIR doesn't address the resultant impact on the remainder agricultural parcel from the conversion, the early conversion of the rest of the parcel. And finally, I'd also like to put on the record a further objection that we have to the current boundaries. This is in relation to Huston Street or Houston Street. I'm told that there's a debate in town as to how you pronounce it, so I'll give you both. This is, and for purposes of the record, we're objecting to that street and the parcels abutting that street being included in the redevelopment plan. Specifically, we're concerned about the business park and the, we believe, 12 to 15 parcels. The reason I'm saying the whole street is we haven't nailed down exactly how many parcels or lots are specifically incorporated into that business park subdivision. But from our perspective, that's a business park that is developing already without the benefit of redevelopment enhancement. And that consequently goes to the heart of redevelopment law, which specifically talks about redevelopment as a tool to be used in specific areas where either the private market economy of this country or local government acting in its capacity as local government cannot address the issues. It's a significant financial power and brings along with it significant governmental powers above and beyond what you ordinarily have as a governmental agency, and it is intended to be only used in areas where you can specifically identify neither the marketplace itself nor government acting in its ordinary capacity can handle those issues. As I said at the start, I believe that there is a lot of the acreage that's being proposed that fits into that category. We do believe there's some acreage that doesn't, and that's the acreage that, to which we are objecting. We need to get it on the record, we would hope, and I was encouraged by the discussions we had with your staff and your consultants earlier today. I'd hope that we would be able to work out a modification that would meet our concerns and that the county would be in a position to be supportive of the city thereafter. But at the present time, obviously, our position is that we are opposed to this, and we need to both get that on the record for administrative purposes and to preserve our options to pursue it as further within our system. And I have representatives from our county council's office, our county attorneys, who will speak if they have recognized that I've missed out something significant from this. Otherwise, I'll try not to add to the length of your public comment by having them speak.
Mr. Edge.
Yes, ma'am.
Isn't it true that most strawberry fields are going to be gone because of the ability not to use the bromine anymore?
That I can't speak to. I can note that your consultant's report describes that situation as, and I may get the words a little wrong, but essentially it says it is virtually inevitable that these fields will be developed. And to me, that's rather a red flag that says if they...
And I believe the area in blue is the project area.
I can probably, at the risk of pointing to the wrong place, I can probably indicate the strawberry field. I think probably everybody knows where your strawberry fields are.
And they are the greatest.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate
thank you, Mr.
it.
Well,
just one clarification.
Yeah.
You weren't talking about the entire ag area. You were talking about a parcel or two remaining.
We're talking about that agricultural area that is south of Highland Way.
Everything south of Highland Way.
We believe it's about 24 acres. It would take somewhere between 21 and 24 acres. And we believe that Highland Way is the appropriate southern boundary for your redevelopment agency.
Would you have objections to us at least including that segment of 4th Street?
I think that would be something that you might want to give your staff the ability to talk over with us.
Okay.
Between now and your next hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing. If anyone else would like to speak to this item, please come forward. Okay. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council. It would appear that on the recommendations that we have, we will act on. Oh, someone else?
Perhaps special counsel can outline some of the options that are available at this point in time.
Okay, I sound like that. What we can do is act on 1A and not 1B or 1C. It sounded pretty straightforward, but if you'd like to comment on that.
Well, in the interest of time, can I try something?
Sure.
I believe that county staff has brought up what I believe is, I feel is a valid point regarding the environmental document. I think there needs to be some additional discussion regarding those issues. And regarding the objection, letter of objection, rather than spending more time this evening, I'd like to think that maybe we can move this to another hearing, maybe the first hearing in July. So.
And that is why perhaps special counsel can outline the options of how to accomplish whatever it is that the council wants to do.
Okay.
With these items.
Well, this is our special counsel.
All right. Yes.
Thank you again.
Save us time.
For housekeeping purposes, Mr. Mayor, as you were indicating, I think it would be appropriate to ask for a motion on item 1A-3-1, which is adopt the resolution approving the report to City Council on the improvement plan, which is behind tab 8 of the joint public hearing binder. As John Huffman indicated, that's really a housekeeping matter. Your left hand giving it to your right hand. I would like the record to indicate that you've had most of these documents for quite some time and all of the documents in that binder for over a week. But just for the record, if you could take that action, and then I would be happy to talk about a suggestion for how to proceed with Council Member Scholl's idea of how to proceed.
And also for the record, we have checked, even though the conflict of interest indication is not checked off on the staff report, we have checked and staff found no indications of any conflict of interest.
Thank you, Martin.
So basically what we're looking at is the very first resolution, the resolution that would be the proposal, proposed implementation of the plan for, and this, and it's in, 1A3, and it's
1A3.
It's this resolution, right? Right there.
So just for clarification, this is just that we accept a plan and it's being transmitted from the agency to the council.
Yes, it's transmitting the report on the plan, actually not even the plan itself, but that binder as an information item. You as the improvement agency are transmitting it to you as the city council for the record.
Okay. Well, here goes. I move that we approve the report to the city council on the proposed improvement plan for the Grover Beach Industrial Enhancement Project and transmitting said report and plan to the council.
I'll second that, John.
We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Did you want to discuss that?
Open discussion, sure.
Are we just formality? Okay.
And we're okay.
You're okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as it's strictly formality. Okay.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, thank you. At this point, we'll move into the city council business. Presentation of the agency's consultant, John Huffman, as we move into item CC-1, improvement plan for Grover Beach Industrial Enhancement Project. And
That's really a companion resolution to one that you decided not to act on tonight as the improvement agency.
Okay.
So I would like, it would be the same recommendation that you hold off on taking action on that.
Okay.
Likewise, as you turn to the Joint City Council Improvement Agency business and CC/IA Improvement Agency -1, you in effect have done, you've heard the report on all of the documents, you've taken the public testimony, You're now down to the place in the agenda talking about recommended actions. But as I indicated earlier, because you have received a written objection prior to the public hearing, you are not, by redevelopment law, allowed to take any of those actions tonight. So if I may, Mr. Mayor, I would like to suggest a way to implement the suggestion made by Council Member and Agency Board Member Scholes to continue this to a future meeting. And that would be as follows. Without committing to any course of action at this time, either to delete or not delete, for instance, the area, what you could do to keep that option open would be three things. To direct, one, that this possible deletion of the area, and I will, just for the record, in a moment, indicate what I understand to be the area that might be deleted. Refer that matter back to the Planning Commission and respectfully request that the Planning Commission agendize that for their next meeting of June 10th. And I will explain in a minute the timing and why we are on a fairly short time fuse at the moment, so that they can come back to you with these objections and the proposed deletion of this subject area at an upcoming regular meeting of the agency and City Council in accordance with various requirements of the redevelopment law that call for you to respond when you receive written objections. And I imagine there will be both a formal response for the record, again, on the agency's side as to why it believes certain actions are appropriate to include. But I understand that it may and hopefully will also include a report back to you on any dialogue that may occur with the county, which was begun today, and whether there is any compromise solution that could be presented to you for consideration. The third thing would be for you to not close the public hearing tonight, but instead continue it to this upcoming meeting of the City Council and agency to hear the results of the Planning Commission action, to hear the results of the staff's dialogue with the county and staff's formal written response to the county's objections, and at that point to hear any further public testimony on the specific issue of deleting the subject area. Two things then, just to round out the suggestion. One is to just make clear what the subject area is, that the county, at least for starters, is asked to be considered for deletion so that the Planning Commission can be aware of what is being requested. My understanding is that the county's request, at least for dialogue purposes, is to delete all of the proposed project area south of Highland and to delete the portion of the project area along both the east and west sides of Huston or Houston, between Farrell and I believe it's Highland. And I think the county has indicated, and questions have been asked about, well, is it possible that within that broad area there might be some sub-areas that are still appropriate to be included? For instance, perhaps some of the parcels that front right on 4th Street, or perhaps some portions of Huston or Houston that are not part of the Grover Gardens Business Park after everybody's had a little more time to investigate exactly what is and is not part of those various areas. And so, but at least for Planning Commission purposes, it would be all of the area south of Highland considered for deletion and all of the parcels on both east and west side of Huston or Houston between Farrell and Highland for consideration of deletion. Is that a fair? Okay. So that would be our suggestion to you as to what those three things that you might do tonight. Now, as to the night to which you might continue this hearing, it would be great if we could continue it to the first meeting in July. The problem with that is that if you want to adopt the plan with whatever deletion, but with whatever portion remains, and obtain the benefit of the current base year value, as Mr. Huffman responded to Councilmember Scholl's question about that issue, then you would need, as he indicated, as John Huffman indicated, to have the ordinance be effective by August 20th, which means counting backwards, you'd have to have your second reading of the ordinance by July 20th, which means you'd have to, in effect, have second reading by the first meeting in July. So to go with an approach that could get this adopted, your schedule would essentially, unfortunately, be something like this. You refer the matter tonight to the Planning Commission and hope that they will be able to take action on June 10th to get back to you with their report. You would continue this hearing to June 16th. You would receive all the input that night, close the hearing, direct the staff as to what you would like the project area to be in the final plan you will consider for adoption, whether it be the whole project as now or some deleted area as the county has suggested, and further dialogue with the county on this matter of deletions, and continue this meeting and or continue the public hearing on this matter to your June 16th meeting.
I'll make that a motion.
I'm sorry to be the troublemaker this evening.
That's good.
With respect to the ag and the discussion in the EIR, if there is going to be some additional discussion that results in, let's say, new information, do you or does the consultant believe that we can do that without having to recirculate the environmental document? Because if that happens, then we are really in a bind for time.
Yes, if we believed that we had to recirculate the environmental document, then you're correct. We would not be in a position to adopt the plan this year. What we're going to investigate, and are not in a position to tell you tonight because mm-hmm. this has come up at the, you know, fairly late, is we're going to investigate whether an appropriate response can be framed and presented into the record without triggering a need for recirculation mm-hmm. under CEQA, and we will report back to you on that. In addition, quite frankly, to the extent there comes a meeting of the mind with the county on the matter, then we may be able to proceed with whatever deleted area because that particular issue may become moot.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that satisfy you, John?
For now.
Okay. Can we make that motion as presented? Is that okay? Yeah.
And we're talking about continuing this to June 16th?
Yes.
Continuing the public hearing portion of this meeting to June 16th. Referring the item to the Planning Commission for the June 10th meeting and directing staff to bring back a staff report pertaining to any dialogue that the city may have with the county with regard to their objections and change of boundaries of the proposed plan.
Does staff have a crystal ball to kind of tell us what we have tentatively scheduled on that June 16th? I know we were talking about final adopting a budget on that date, so I don't want to crowd that agenda if we don't have to.
The budget adoption would be scheduled for that evening. By the same token, the concept is that the budget would be adopted in concept on June 11th, and all the council would be dealing with would be the resolutions that actually affirm all of the decisions the council made on the 16th. So theoretically, those would be consent items. I can't think of any other DBE. Is that okay? Bob's got DBE. Item that would be on in a public hearing for that.
John, let me put a couple of 2 cents in here.
Feel free.
You know, I don't think that this council should feel that we have to put, you know, to rush this thing forward. Well, you know, that's
please
me.
Jump in here, please.
I really wanted to hold back my comments and you know, because I believe that the best information is the most complete information. But then again, I'm a big fan of gut, going with your gut. And I agree we need to go with this process. I don't want to feel rushed with the process because, honestly, with the state budget issues and the potential impact on redevelopment, the impact on other revenue sources in our community, the track record of our current redevelopment agency, and that we don't have much of one. We've got debt service out there. We don't have staff focus because of resources. We don't have a game plan in our current redevelopment agency. I go back and say, what was the initial interest on developing an industrial redevelopment area? Was it primarily to find a way to finance a sanitary sewer in that part of the community? If that's the case, that's not enough for me. And I mean, I'm at the place where maybe it's best to shelf this for now and let's wait for the budget crisis to pass and let's show the community and feel good that we've developed a project in the current redevelopment agency zone and we've made some inroads, whether it's having an economic development or redevelopment person recruiting people to come into town or what. But I just feel like we're jumping into this, and I feel like we owe it to ourselves and the community to show something for the current redevelopment agency. I'm all for staying the process and getting through this and making a decision, but I don't feel real comfortable with it at this point, and maybe I will once we get further along, but I look at the resources being committed to this at this time and say I almost would wish they'd be redirected to the agency that we have now.
Thank you, Steve.
So, and by doing this, Martin, does that mean that we go back?
Well, I think there are two issues here. One, as explained by Mr. Nagel, and that is the crunch schedule will, if followed and if steps are taken to its expected or anticipated conclusion, at least from the standpoint of the report, will allow the city to capture the tax increment of the 2002-2003 year as a base. If the ordinance is not passed and approved prior to August 20th, 2003, then the base increment will start this year. It will start in 2003. So the only thing as far as the schedule, the crunch, is that is at stake, at least as I understand it, and jump in here, Jack, is the base that is going to be the starting point for the tax increment configuration. It is an ambitious schedule to get things done in the order outlined, and the schedule is caused by the objection which lawfully was brought before you here in writing today, which requires you to respond in writing and precludes you from approving the plan or acting on the plan today. The direction brought back to them, next scheduled meeting of the City Council, we can report on what took place, etc.
Because I think just like us, I mean, the county here is last minute also informing us of this.
We would have been better served by an earlier objection.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Good chess move.
Well, and not only that, but I think that we're also putting pressure on the Planning Commission besides ourselves.
Yeah, I'd have to say I agree with Councilman Lieberman, and I think the fact that we do have the one agency and there's nothing, we don't have a project to show for it, I'm not inclined to speed through this, but I certainly would support getting complete information. And so I don't know if we had a second to that motion or not.
No, I'll withdraw it.
No, we didn't have a lack of second. Okay.
So then I'll make the same motion. And if we don't continue this to a date specific, we're going to have to re-advertise this. So I would suggest we pick a specific date so we don't have to go back out and pay for additional advertising and noticing.
That is correct. If you end up not adopting for this base year, then there are a few steps that will have to occur in addition to what we've described. For instance, the county will have to draw up a new base year valuation. At that point, if there's been a meeting of the minds on what the revised project area would be, then they can draw the base year valuation on a somewhat smaller area. But that takes some time, so that you would actually not be in a position again to consider adopting the plan until sometime this fall. Just to throw out a suggestion, you might want to suggest a date certain. I don't know if you take a summer recess or something, but immediately
we don't take time off.
That's Congress.
I'm impressed. Sometime in August, perhaps, to get feedback on what has occurred. And then if, the time is still not ripe to take action because we're still waiting for information from the county auditor, then you could continue it yet again to a time certain. But I can tell you right now that you are probably, because of the county auditor's need for some time to assemble a new base value, you're probably not going to be able to actually consider adoption of the plan until October or November of calendar year 2003. But if there's a date in August, or perhaps city manager, city attorney, or city clerk could suggest a date sometime far enough in the future that these kinds of actions could take place in it in a more orderly manner, yeah, then that would be an appropriate thing to consider tonight.
Right.
Perhaps September would be a first meeting in September would be a good date. This gives the Planning Commission a chance to consider this in 2 meetings.
That sounds good to me. That's good to the motion maker?
Sure.
Actually, is that good to you? Oh, she withdrew the motion. Oh,
I'm
making the new motion.
Motion.
I'm making the new motion.
Yeah, you were the motion maker.
That's right.
So that's good to you? September?
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to give her a date specific. September. So I would make the same motion that Councilmember Lance.
Many times, many city councils, again, throughout the state. And I think you have a very good opportunity here to negotiate with the County of San Luis Obispo to put this project together at this point. And I'm afraid if you let this go, you'll lose the momentum. The county has engaged this process. They realize the need for redevelopment to occur in portions of this area. And you can delay this process. You will lose the base year, which means you will lose some of that valuable tax increment that can address some of the issues, beginning to address some of those issues. By losing the base year, you're going to lose some of those dollars. But even more important, I think, at this point, you're going to lose the momentum that we have with respect to this project. And we've been working on this for almost a year and a half in bits and pieces, and I know you don't remember the whole process. Sometimes I have a hard time remembering that. But I would just like to encourage you to at least let staff continue the engagement that was initiated by the county at this point in time to see what we can arrive at.
Come I think back that's part of the motion.
Without losing the base year.
Hmm.
I just wanted to put that on the table because I think it is very important. A lot of work has gone into this, and there would be, with respect to additional expenditures, I'm afraid there would have to be additional expenditures because of subsequent report modifications, additional county effort with respect to 33328 report, those kinds of things. And you have an existing redevelopment agency you're already administrating. So with respect to having staff administrate an existing area, you would be adding to certain administrative efforts. But on the other hand, you won't be duplicating because those efforts are ongoing already. And with respect to actively engaging the improvements in this project area, it may be a year or two because it's going to take a matter of time for tax increment to grow. Even if you were to issue debt for this project area and have a sum of money to work with almost immediately, that couldn't happen for a number of months, perhaps a year or more, depending on the growth circumstances occurring in that project area. So I just want to not confuse the issue anymore, which I've probably done, but have you think very seriously about this base year situation and about the momentum that has arrived at this point in time. And if we delay this for an extended period of time, I'm afraid you'll lose this opportunity as it sits here today. Thank you.
Can I comment on that?
You certainly
can. Sure.
With all respect to Mr. Huffman and the work that Urban Futures and our staff and council put into this, I mean, I truly appreciate it. But at the same time, I was as excited as anyone else to say, let's do a feasibility study on this area, and then to come back and look at the budget situation and look at what's going on and the challenges that we have, and kind of reassessing as part of our goal setting is what are the priorities of this council and this community. And as much as I'm a believer in bettering the community and evolving the community, we need to step back from this and say, what else should we be doing? And it's very clear we need to be doing streets and infrastructure. It's really clear to me that we need to focus on our primary redevelopment agency. And mm-hmm. and if we have to lose some momentum on this, I mean, I'm the first to take responsibility.
Oh, John, you had a motion.
I'm leaving the motion unchanged, if I can get a second.
In between chokes, I'll second that.
Finally. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. Okay, at this point, we're going to adjourn the joint meeting of the City Council Improvement Agency. And before we convene the City Council meeting, let's take about a 10-minute break.
Can you burp me?
That'd be good.
I might throw you underneath a sailboat, but... Okay, let's reconvene the city council meeting, and we're going to move into the consent agenda. We have four items on the consent agenda, and they will be taken as a block. Do I hear a motion to accept the consent agenda or any items that would be pulled for separate consideration? Steve?
Oh, wait. I'd like to pull item three, please.
Okay, Steve would like to pull item three. Anybody else like to pull an item for separate consideration or discussion?
No. Okay. I'll make a motion. We accept items 2, 4, and 5.
A second.
I have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Item number 3, minutes of the special joint city council meeting of the April 28th, held in Aurora Grandy. Mr. Lieberman.
Actually, I'm going to make this as brief as possible. I would just like... it to be noted in the record that I was absent on May 5th, and I'll be abstaining for approving the minutes for that meeting.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion for the minutes of that meeting.
Make a motion. We accept the item 3.
Oh, there's 2 meetings. I'm sorry.
As amended.
As amended.
Three. Okay.
So, as amended.
Okay. All in favor?
I'll second.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Starting
from that one section.
Two-thirds, I voted
Okay.
Wake up, open.
Okay, item number 6, public hearings. Extension of the existing 45-day moratorium on adult-oriented recreation business pending completion of the zoning ordinance amendment process. And our staff report will be by our city attorney, Martin Kazanowicz.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. What is before you today is an ordinance which will, if approved and passed, extend the 40-day moratorium that was put into place with the ordinance number 0303 on May 5th, 2003. The moratorium on adult-oriented recreational businesses was put into place by the City Council upon making findings that the zoning ordinance or amended zoning ordinance is process has been completed and put before the council for the approval. We're proposing a 180-day period. We are confident that the process can be accomplished within that period of time, at which point in time the moratorium would be extinguished. I'll answer any questions.
Questions, John?
No questions. I'd just like to commend staff on the staff report. I think we're heading in a good direction, and I look forward to them bringing back the final product within the 180 days.
Steve?
Yeah, I think it's a great point that John rose, and especially in the real proactive approach that staff's taken at council direction to address something that has been so sensitive to the community. I think we're doing the right thing here, and I think it's great, and I appreciate it.
Dee?
It's done well in a nice, timely manner. Thank you.
This is a public hearing, so I will open this. If there's no other questions, I'll open this to the public for any communication to the council or to staff or actually commit council.
What?
Anybody that would like to speak on this item, this is your chance. How's that?
Thank you.
I understood what you said.
Doesn't look like it, so we'll bring it back to council.
Okay.
Entertain a motion?
In the spirit of time, I think this is a no-brainer. So I move that we adopt the ordinance extended the moratorium on establishment of new adult-oriented recreational businesses in all zoning districts in the city.
I'd like to second.
Motion and second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion passes 4-0. We'll move into regular business. Presentation of the fiscal year 04 budget. And the verbal presentation will be by our city manager, Ron Anderson and Administrative Services Director Gayla Chapman.
Oh, goody.
The Administrative Services Director is bringing you your copy of the proposed FY04 annual budget.
Is there a wheelbarrow going to be issued for us to take this out of here tonight?
I was going to ask for a pack of mule.
Yeah, we'll...
As OSHA know.
We'll have to get you back braces, or at least. Actually, the budget document's nowhere near as big as the redevelopment document that you also had to look at this evening. The budget that we are proposing this year is... go to the next one, Gloria. Go ahead. The budget that we're proposing this year includes anticipated resources of nearly $21 million from all funds. There are proposed expenditures of nearly or a little over $5.3 million. We're looking at anticipated resources in the general fund of nearly $7.7 million and proposed expenditures of nearly $6.2 million. There are no utility user rate increases proposed in the budget. However, we are proposing ribbon committees be formed to consider service refinements as well as user fee equity. We are suggesting that the user fee study that was prepared by Maximus be revised to reflect the final document that the council adopts for the coming fiscal year prior to initiating that Blue Ribbon Committee process, so that each one of those committees has current up-to-date information to consider. In addition, to the dedicated reserves that are required in the financial policies, we're suggesting that a state budget crisis reserve be adopted this year by the council and continue to be adopted until the state actually comes up with some long-term solution to its budget crisis. Consistent with the City Council's adopted financial policies, we have gone through the annual review, and staff has prepared a revised set of policies that's included in your budget document for your consideration. Going through the highlights of the individual budgets, the Community Development Department would be facing a very ambitious program of preparing a housing element, a circulation element, including bikeways plan and truck route plan, a land use element, a Northwest neighborhood concept plan, a tree preservation ordinance, the Ramona specific plan, the multimodal train station study, and the NPDES phase two plan. In addition, that department would be coordinating the annual street rehabilitation project and the development of enhanced customer services practices and its own Blue Ribbon Committee user fee revision exercise.
Ron, can I jump in for a sec?
Sure.
Gloria, would it be possible to go back to the previous slide with your new fancy mouse? Is this an ambitious attack plan, or is this a doable plan that we can hold the department accountable to?
Well, a number of these elements are things that consultants would be preparing. The city would be doing the housing element, but the circulation element, we already have a consultant on board. The land use element would be a consultant. And the Northwest concept plan, I think, Bob, the plans for that to be in-house, right?
Yes.
And the Ramona plan is almost finished. The multimodal is a consultant, and the NPDES is in-house.
So your feeling on this is that this is all will be, you know, realistically accomplished by staff in the coming year?
Particularly if we can get the vacant positions in this department filled, the director position, the building official, and the building technician position.
Focusing or not.
Under the police department, we're looking at sponsoring a proactive code enforcement program, upgrading the computer-aided dispatch and records management systems, conducting an enhanced traffic enforcement program, and identifying approaches to reducing police communication costs through consolidations with other agencies. We're in the fire department. We're looking at continuing provision of emergency medical, fire suppression, and fire prevention services through paid staffing in concert with the Oceana Community Services District. We are looking at acquiring on an ongoing basis protective clothing and equipment for the fire department, where we would ensure that we have replacements on a regular basis, and also to acquire a replacement fire engine. In recreation, parks and recreation, we're looking at an enhanced recreation program with significant increase in class offerings, refurbishing park facilities to maximize the use of city facilities. You may recognize that as one of the 17 citywide goals. We're in the administrative services. We're looking at implementation of a revenue enhancement program to ensure the equitable payment and collection of fees and taxes, as well as revenue enhancement without rate increases. We're looking at also initiating a process of augmenting the accounting system and initiating the use of the budget module in the accounting system. And we're also looking at a more concentrated cost containment kind of effort with regard to risk management. We have extremely high experience of loss with regard to workers' comp and liability and property kinds of risk management areas for the city, and we believe that we can bring those costs down by being more proactive and doing a better job of training and ensuring that we have safe practices and good equipment to respond. City management, we're looking at implementation of the community goals, looking at alternatives for financing major capital improvements, revising the personnel system, and implementing an information system master plan. With regard to general fund reserves, we are proposing a general contingency, which would be 5% of expenditures. That was what the council directed us to do at the last council meeting. We're looking at a general reserve of 10% of proposed expenditures that would be used primarily for under collection of revenues or unanticipated kinds of expenditures. We're looking at an emergency reserve that would be specifically for any kind of unanticipated emergency, and again, the state budget crisis reserve, which is the worst case estimate of what the ERAF shift may be. The first would be that the use of reserves for a one-time expenditure that results in ongoing cost savings or ongoing cost avoidance would be an acceptable priority for use of reserves. The use of reserves for one-time expenditure that results in ongoing revenue enhancements. Also, the use of reserves for one-time expenditure that leverages the expenditure of significant public or private investment in the city by other entities. We'd also look to reserves as a way to offset shortfall in the collection of revenues and to use reserves to offset unanticipated increases in expenditures for current programs and projects. The major capital improvement program includes nearly $5.8 million in proposed expenditures. They have been broken down into categories. You may recognize these categories as the categories we were using in the goal-setting exercise. So in A category, community services and parks, there's $700,000 proposed. Customer service and public information, $87,500. Utilities, street improvements, infrastructure. As you can see, the vast bulk of the major capital improvement program is in this area. It's $3.1 million proposed. Public safety.
Excuse me, Ron, is a major portion of that, is that Oak Park Boulevard? Is that why we're,
we have such a... Several different things that's in there, but yes, the about half of that number is Oak Park. About $537,000 of it is for next year's local street improvement program, and there's a small carryover around $75,000 or so from the current year program. 57? Okay, so I'm dyslexic.
Join the club.
It's that Ron thing.
Yeah.
The housing and community development is nearly $500,000 proposed there, and then a very significant amount, again, in economic development and redevelopment, where the vast majority of that is also a street improvement project for the most part, which is the traffic mitigation project. Of that total, nearly, I think about 68% of the capital improvements program is for street improvements and pedestrian improvements in the city of Grover Beach. CIP financing, we talked about that. Council has asked us to look at accelerating by use of some form of bonding, such as a general obligation bond or certificates of participation. That would allow us to accelerate the process, for example, of rehabilitating local streets. We could take advantage of historically low interest rates. We could achieve economies of scale in design and construction of local streets, for example. And we could avoid inflation, which would occur if projects were spread out over the next 20 years. There are no proposals to increase taxes in order to deal with any of those kind of financing. There's no proposal feet of water. An acre foot of water is about 325,000 gallons of water. The city's water allocations total 2,202 acre feet. So in the calendar year 2002, we used 93.6% of our city's water allocation. There are three ways that we can go about increasing water quantity. And those include increasing the safe yield allocation from Lopez Lake. There are improvements to the dam that are under construction, and with those improvements and with the improvements to the treatment facilities, we may be able to increase the safe yield. That's not going to happen overnight, and it's not a dramatic increase. But that is something that is available. We currently have had an experience with regard to our groundwater basin where we are actually increasing the amount of water that is being recharged into that basin. Unfortunately, we have a gentleman's agreement as part of the Santa Maria Valley water litigation that restricts us in terms of how much we pump out of the groundwater. We may be able to renegotiate that at some point and be able to have a higher safe yield from that resource. Again, that would not solve our build-out situation. If the general plan were built out, we still would have insufficient water. So the primary way that we see to decrease water is to decrease water usage through conservation using best management practices. We have the benefit of having a significant resource through development impact fees to be able to address that. And we're recommending that instead of having the highly reactive program that we've had for the last few years, that we have a very aggressive, proactive program to attack that and get significant impact on a fairly current basis at no cost to the water customers. So overall, that's the proposed budget. There are new sections in the budget document that I'd like to draw the council's attention to. The C section in the budget, which has the tab goals, includes the community goals that the council adopted. All 17 goals are listed there, and there's page references to where you can see those goals have been addressed in the budget document. The financial policies, which is the next section, has been reorganized and brought up to date. We put up front in that document, for example, the budget policies, the first two of which are newly proposed. They include that the budget will be presented by the city manager to the city council. No, that would be before the council on June 16th would be a resolution to have the council formally adopt those revised financial policies. There is another section in the budget called cash position summaries. That's the lowercase e section. And that includes a page, and in the case of the general fund, two pages for each fund that the city has appropriations in, which shows the actual revenues and expenditures collected, the estimated for the current year, and the recommended for the coming fiscal year. And at the top of each one of those, it gives the reader some idea about what kind of restrictions there may be on those funding sources. So if somebody wanted to kind of tiptoe through the cash position summaries looking for money that is not proposed for expenditure, and wanted to, for example, put that on a project such as local street paving, you'd have to read the detail at the top to see whether that was an eligible use of that resource or not. The redevelopment agency has its own section in the budget because technically it is a separate document. It is a separate budget. It will be adopted again this year by a separate resolution of the agency as opposed to the city. In the past, those two documents have been incorporated as one. They've been separated now, consistent with state law. We also have in each one of the department budgets significant change in the format. Each department starts out with an organization chart, which shows the functions in that department. And each department has a list of achievements, goals, and proposed service refinements. We also have included a section of detailed line item and subline item information with regard to revenues and expenditures, and that's the R section. And it's in the tab is a yellow tab entitled Revenue and Expenditure Detail. In there, you will find more line item detail than was in previous budget documents because it includes the actuals, approved, amended, March year-to-date, estimated, requested, recommended, and there's a column for council's approved budget. So that is considerably more detailed than existed in previous budgets. We also have revised some of the line items to get more specificity in what they're called and broken some of them out so that there's even more detail so it's more easy for council and the public to track expenditures. There is a chart of accounts section in the budget that explains the entire accounting system and gives the definitions of each line item. So for those of you who are interested in detail, the detail is in here also. The resolutions tab doesn't include any resolutions yet, but when you adopt in holidays. And so you have your proposed FY04 annual budget for both the city and the agency. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I think they deserve a hand. And you too.
Wow, Dee. I just wanted to say, obviously we haven't read this, but that was a very nice PowerPoint presentation. I think it really highlighted it, and it gets us off to a great start in reviewing the budget. So thanks to all the staff who put work in on the document.
I'd like to thank Gloria for putting that together.
Yes, and Gloria did very well in
the last half hour or so.
Yes.
Is it possible to get a hard copy of that? Because it'd be nice kind of as a to keep us topically focused on what the individual budgets are.
Cool. And just to let you know that the budget transmittal message basically follows the same kind of information is in there and in more detail and more narrative. But we'd be happy to get that to you.
That'd be great. Thanks.
This is nice.
At first glance, this looks very, very good. It looks very very easy to read and very, very well documented and separated into all the different little categories we need to be up on. So we will take our first look at this in-depthly on Wednesday, I guess.
That's correct.
I have a conflict. I probably won't be here, but I have a sanitation district meeting that day. So I'll be here as soon as possible.
You better.
We'll barely have a quorum, I guess.
Oh. But don't let that stop you.
Hey, I rescheduled knee surgery to be here. Come on, Ann.
Whoa. I let you borrow my crutches, but they'd be at your knees.
That's where he needs them.
He'd need them after walking around on his knees.
Okay, so I guess we'll just move into council committee reports. Mr. Eckbaum's not here, so Steve, you have any committee reports?
We had a meeting of the Fire and Emergency Services Oversight Committee. Not a lot to report. The chiefs feel it's working well. Oceano was going to start collecting data so they could have a comparable report to the one that we received for Grover with the pie charts and the incident detail, and I guess we'll start seeing both of those. Parks and Recreation, the new activity schedule came out. One meeting, you two? One meeting.
Sorry.
The new activity schedule came out, and
we're bonding.
One of my highlights is we're bringing adult kickball back. And
great.
It was one of my favorites. I'll be sponsoring a team. I'm looking for recruits. Co-ed kickball should be a lot of fun.
I think I got you about six recruits. Is there a percentage there, Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it joint? I mean, co-ed?
It's co-ed.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow. Saturdays.
Sign me up. Glory.
Saturdays at 10 a.m.
Bill, you signing up?
Saturdays
at 10 a.m. with, you know, barbecues and lunches following.
Gloria, are you signing up? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, John, go ahead and start the sign up. Work the audience.
You want me to start?
The
city team.
You know, we saw some preliminary design work for the Cleaver Park, which we saw in our packets as well.
They were able to hit both, so it worked out great. So thanks to the people from Grover Beautiful and through Kathy and her staff, it worked out wonderful. Nice day, too.
I'd like to chime in. I went to all the gardens, and they were great. Just beautiful. Beautiful day. You're right. John.
I have nothing to report on EVC. I think I missed the last meeting. We were out of town. The ad hoc committee regarding the Chamber of Commerce met today. We just wanted to kind of bring you into tune with some of the issues that we're considering. As you know, they've requested funding, and that'll be considered as part of the budget. Issues that we're looking at is, and I think we want to maybe at some point in the future discuss this, but do we want to continue this partnership? As you know, the Chamber, the city contributes to their budget, and each year not only do they do customer or tourist information, they also help out with the Christmas party, the Dune Run, and the Stone Soup Music Fair. Things that we're looking at, or maybe some alternatives, is before I move on to that, some things that we've talked about is encouraging them to do membership drives to get their membership up, and also to look into possible fundraisers. So that's something that we've been discussing.
Christmas parade, not party.
Christmas parade. Not the pre-party. What we're looking at is several alternatives. They are requesting an increase in their annual contribution from the city from $20,000 to $30,000, and that's to address issues of insurance premiums, funds lost from the Cal Poly Arts Foundation pulling out, and obviously the general doing business. Second alternative is possibly looking at an increase to that amount with the proviso that their membership be increased each year, and that amount would slowly, gradually go back down to the 20. So we might look at 30, allocating 30, and then as they get membership up, and not only raising monies, but also increasing their volunteer base, that we can reduce that number back down to the 20. We also talked about maintaining the $20,000, which would continue with the current service, including the three annual events I had talked about. But then we might look at one idea that came forward was, you know, everyone's doing these car shows, but maybe doing like an off-road vehicle show. I think that would be kind of cool, kind of in line with the vehicles down on the beach. So we could specify that, let's say, $5,000 or a certain percentage go to that, and then a certain percentage of five or whatever goes back for the Stone Soup music fair. No decisions need to be made tonight. I'm just letting you know what we've been discussing. And that would more or less augment that, because it sounds like since the Cal Poly Arts Foundation pulled monies out, that they're having difficulty bringing in some good quality acts. So that's something we're looking at. And obviously, the one other alternative we're looking at is, do we want to maintain this partnership? What would it take if the city was to step in and say, we're not going to fund it, we want to go in a different direction, and we want to look at possibly continuing the Stone Soup Music Fair?
Activities in town, maybe we need to discuss that too.
Yeah, and part of the discussion of whether we want to continue this is we were looking at what other cities are doing. We know that the city of Pismo Beach and San Luis Obispo make a substantial contribution to the chambers. However, you know, there is obviously a significant difference between their TOT and ours. So that's something that we were looking at. The city of Arroyo Grande doesn't contribute anything to their chamber, but that means if someone comes into the Arroyo Grande chamber and asks a city-related question, they don't even answer. They just send them across the street and say good luck. I don't even know if they say good luck, but they don't try and take that extra step.
Is that it, John?
That's it.
Okay,
with
thank
3
you.
3 minutes to go.
Integrated Waste Management Authority met last week. However, we were in Tahoe, and the Zone 3 Advisory Committee met the Thursday before that. And I think the only thing that was controversial, or the only real hot button there, is fluoridation of the local water. There's a group that wants to give us about $100,000, give or take a few thousand dollars, to implement fluoridation of the water at the treatment plant at the head of the up at Lopez. And basically, the money that they would give us would pretty much pay for the equipment that would implement the fluoride. We would have an ongoing cost of fluoride and an ongoing cost of monitoring the fluoride from there. Plus, each city would have their own cost generated at wellheads to continue that fluoride concentration if we were to come up to a consensus of what the fluoride concentration would be in order to keep that concentration the same throughout the whole water system. Each community would have to fluoridate their water at the wellheads. And it's not a straightforward issue. There have been it's very, very volatile on both sides of the issue. And I think basically what it's going to come out to, in my opinion, would be a voter. The voters of this community would have to vote on whether they want fluoridated water or not. So it was a pretty interesting item. Other than that, there wasn't a lot that that happened at Zone 3. So that pretty much precludes all of my council committee reports. We don't have a city manager's agenda at this time or a city council agenda. So we're back to public communications. If there's anybody in the public that would like to address the council for a period of not to exceed 3 minutes of any item within the jurisdiction of this council, now is the time to do that again.
How many minutes, Ron?
He's got a minute and 18 seconds.
Where's that timer when we needed it?
It starts when I walk.
No. You've got a minute and 12 seconds, yeah.
Sure. This is Michael Leon, 1754 Trouville. The reason I'm up here is to wrap up a final chapter of a appointment that City of Grover allowed me to be a part of approximately a year and a half ago. On May 22nd, the Napomo Community Services District had a large groundbreaking ceremony for their Old Town redevelopment. To join up to the Pismo Beach Boardwalk, the Old Town in Napomo received approximately $200,000 from our efforts, and the Lucia Mar Unified School District received about $160,000 for their district for their bus lines. And those are the three major capital improvements. In addition to that, we had various nonprofits and other specific projects. The May 22nd event was the end of that participation for me. It closes the chapter of that. I wanted to thank the city again for the honor of being a part of it. When the accolades went out, I did remind everyone that it was as a Grover Beach City appointment, that my participation would not have been forthcoming without that. So you shared the accolades indirectly, and I want to thank you guys again. And that ends my report. I've waited about a year for this. But as you know, when you get the Army Corps of Engineers involved in the project, it adds things. So.
Good job, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks.
Any other public communication? Mr. Mack.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Robert Mack, Bob Mack, Interim Community Development Director. Apparently I made a comment or statement at some time in the past that misled one of our citizens regarding how the downtown traffic mitigation project was being financed. And I'd just like to set that record straight so that there is no misunderstanding. Originally, the project did start out in the late 90s as being totally federal grant funded. And that remains true today, except that approximately a year ago, because of the cost and additional work that was desired into the project, the budget was supplemented, the federal funds were supplemented with city RDA funds, and that remains true today. And in your budget review, you'll see the amount of those, the specific amounts of those funds being proposed for the next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Anyone else? Okay, we'll move into council communications. Steve?
I've got a couple things. Does anyone want to go first? Mine might take an hour or three.
Uh-oh.
Dee?
No, I'm just glad to be here. It's a private joke, really.
I'd like to donate my time to Councilman Lieberman.
Yeah.
Mr. Lieberman.
I have 6 minutes.
Nice.
A couple things, and perhaps they should have been agendized, or maybe they should be agendized in the future. I just kind of wanted to bounce a couple of issues off the council and see if there's any consensus to move forward with these. The first has to do with media and promoting the community and improving communication with the community, as well as improving media relations, were kind of adopted goals by the council. And I kind of, because my big mouth was charged with helping to facilitate that, this evening I was looking for some kind of council support or consensus to draft a letter addressed to the citizens of Grover Beach from the city council, so it would be signed by all five of us, briefing the community on the positive aspects of our community, to do a tally of our street improvements by specific blocks, to talk about things like our recreation department, what we've done with the skate park, and how we're looking to him. And I'm just looking for feedback from you.
Well, I think, did you want to say something, Martin?
He's just waiting.
I was expecting a question.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to go on record as saying that I support Councilman Lieberman. I think that's something that we've should consider. I think we do want to be positive and show the residents of Gilbert Beach that we have been working and to show them what the accomplishments are. And I think that would go a long way to informing the general public. So I would support you in those efforts.
I'm also, and I think, do we have to agendize this, Martin, when we make this kind of decision?
Yes. You can speak.
My recommendation.
That's enough.
Next question, please. My recommendation to the council would be that both the item pertaining to the Edinburgh property and this item be agendized for the Wednesday meeting.
That'd be excellent.
Which is in 2 days.
Mm-hmm. And I really support your idea, Steve, that this go out and so the citizens do know, and maybe the Congleton show can also. I support you all the way there. I think
Thanks.
It's excellent because I think the citizens really need to know fact, fiction. What are the truths? And it's about time. It's way long overdue, and you'll do a great job.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Well, before I move on from that, I just want everyone to realize that there's going to be some staff time spent on helping me compile the tally sheet, and I just, for okay, I'll be working with Ron to...
Well, once again, I think it needs to be agendized before we can actually do that. So,
well, if I were able to vote, I would vote to invest that kind of staff time, too.
Okay. So, do we need to agendize this for Wednesday to... Or do I have the power to just move forward with it?
You're the PR person.
Well, I think the city attorney said we should agendize it for Wednesday. Is that the...
Well, to the extent that gathering of information and data is initiated, there's no need to agendize that portion of it. As far as actual letter and approval of the content, et cetera, I think that should be an agenda item.
We have time for the following week, right?
I'll coordinate that with you two, and then get it to everyone to sign. Okay, thanks. Now, moving on to the second item.
So you have consensus. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. The next issue I had related to code enforcement, which was another identified goal. And in looking at the PowerPoint today, we're looking at bringing code enforcement back. I was absent from the May 5th workshop on code enforcement, unfortunately. And I'd like to offer what may be considered a non-traditional approach to a community code enforcement program. The city of Paso Robles developed a program that's been viewed as successful by staff, elected officials, and most importantly, the community. It was very well received there. Doug Hamp, who's the former fire chief, actually developed the program, and it was actually managed, it's pretty non-traditional, it was managed by the fire department. And I know we were going to agendize a few for cleaning up a mess in my yard. So I think it's a really neat, positive approach, and I'd love to see if there's enough interest in getting dug in here when we do agendize the code enforcement.
I'm on board with that. I'd like to see it. I don't think that I've been pretty vocal about our previous code enforcement efforts, and I don't think they've been that effective. So if there's a proven method that's maybe takes a little different tack, I would be in favor of looking at that.
Thanks. I mean, we're not obligating ourselves at all. I'd just like to have him share his experience.
More info, the better, just like we're talking about with the improvement agency. I think that the better and more information we have, the better decision we're going to make.
Okay.
I'll see Mr. Meacham on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Corner him.
Well, I'd like to say that, I would support that approach. I think if we've had failed attempts in the past, at that May 5th meeting when we were talking about code enforcement, I think we were talking about doing a workshop. And so in that workshop, we were trying to define what it is, how do we define proactive and the logistics of it all. And it certainly couldn't help to have a professional with a proven track record assist in us trying to come up with those answers and figure out how we're going to approach code enforcement.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. I had one item. This kind of deals with the community people that were here tonight, and I wish they were still here. But I know Ken Gross kind of took an offense to the term that I tacked onto the people that are generally here or have the squeakiest wheel. And I love Casablanca, and I took the term out of Casablanca, the usual suspects. I thought that I love that line. I thought that was great, and I used that line as in jest, only in jest. I didn't mean to be a personal affront to anyone, even though some of those people have personally affronted everyone on this council with our letters to the editor. I didn't mean to reciprocate to them. I appreciate the input that they have. It's not always positive, but that also is a part of this job, and it gives you some reflection of what you're doing right or possibly what you're doing wrong. And you can have all the theories you want in the world sitting up here, but if you don't have the backing of the community, those theories have no validity, and you're going in the wrong direction. And I would wish that the usual suspects would grow to 1,000 people, and that they would, you know, they're supposedly that is what they do have, 1,000 signatures. And I wish they'd all be vocal. I wish they'd all be here at the council meetings, and it would be much easier to make decisions if we had that unknown majority or those people that are quiet but supposedly have a voice to someone else that you never see. So I hope that they will show up, and I hope that they will give us more input. It, like I said, it does give us a lot better direction, and I'm sorry that if I've offended them. And that's it. Okay, at this time, we'll move into closed session, if there's no more council communications. And we're going to deal with two items. One's conference with legal counsel pending litigation. The second one is conference with labor negotiator, and pursuant to government code 54957.6 and the unrepresented